Blog Talk Radio.
Because he's man, he may miss the mark. But God says in his word, he gives us perfect peace when we trust in him. That perfect peace that surpasses all human understanding. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is the best day ever. You know why? Because God has given us his breath and strength, the golden opportunity to again get closer to him. And Genesis said in 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Good evening, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome to FM AM, For Men, About Men, where we come together to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word that enhances us as we strive towards that mark of perfection as men. And as always, Proverbs 4:20-22 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears to thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. If you're looking for the life filled with abundance, if you're looking for a life that will show you the way and give you the truth, then being in God's kingdom will give you that life. It will give you that life because God promises it, and his word does not return void. Again, I'm your host, and I'd like to welcome you. I'm David. And as always, I like to always start off in prayer because I always say that prayer is the key to the door to talk to God, to interact with God, to be with God, to be able to have that opportunity to really experience the beauty of love. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy and grace, and forgiveness of our sins, our inequities, our trespasses, our debts. Father God, only you can do that through your son. And I thank you, Father God, that you've done that for us. You sacrificed your only son for us. He took on his body on that tree our sins, that we would die to sin and live unto righteousness. Father God, you promised healing from that. Healing in our spirit, healing in our heart, healing in our mind, healing on our body, healing in every area of our life. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He served us in such a way we could never pay it back. But I thank you, God, that you've done this. I thank you, Father God, that your patience is so beyond comprehension to allow us the opportunity to grow or even take one step back, to even get to know you. This is the love you show us. And, Father, there may be many out there, Father, who don't know your love, have gotten frustrated by what man has presented in behavior, attitude, or conversation to cause them to step back in the curiosity they may have had to want to know you. But because we as man sometimes impede our brother's growth, they miss the mark. But, Father, you said you wish that none should perish, that everyone should have everlasting life. I'm praying right now for those, Father God, who are lost, who have not accepted you, Father God, who knew you and went back out, and then, Father, just out there drifting. I, Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they will open up their heart, open up their mind, Father God, and say with their mouth that they accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They, Father God, push their old life behind, and they look forward to the new life in you, where old things have passed away, and now everything's becoming new. And that newness, Father God, is like the bright shining sun. It will take away all the darkness, all the pain that causes us, Father God, not to see life. And you told us to choose life. We would be able to say, death, where is thy sting? Oh, we may see it, we may experience it in some form or fashion, but its sting is gone because we trust you. So I thank you, Father God, that anyone who has accepted you, I know the angels are celebrating. And for those who have returned back, your open arms are there for them. I thank you, Lord. And I pray for every area of our lives, Father God, for every human being, every 8.7 billion people and growing on this planet, Father God, will be exposed to your word, will receive your word, and begin to walk in your word. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. And then for all the things that they need, want, and desire that align with your word will be manifested in some form or fashion as they line up with your will, your purpose, Father God, for them because of the plans you had already had for all our lives. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God. If anyone's in sickness, I think that they're healed, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, system not only operates in the healthy divine condition you intended it to do, but, Father God, those afflictions will not return a second time. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father God, that we speak life. We speak life. As Pastor Prophet Teresa said, we speak life. The word, Father God, it produces life. So I thank you that we speak life over our lives, over our descendants' lives, Father God, and everyone that we come in contact with. And as I go forward today, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for another opportunity to do this. Sometimes, God, I have to admit, I don't feel I'm worthy to stand before here and speak your word. But, God, I thank you for every opportunity you give me to do this. And if I'm missing the mark in any area, search my heart, put the floodlight on it, and correct and create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me so I can continue to stay on this path. I can stay on this journey, Father God, that you are developing me and maturing me to be who you want me to be because you delivered me. And I thank you. Holy Spirit, increase in me. Let me decrease and let you increase that the word to go forward will be accurate and proficient to be life-changing. And if just one person's life, that is the blessing of blessings, Father. I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I sometimes it just blows me away that I'm standing here, and it blows me away when people call me and ask me for prayer, and when people say, when I send a message out, they say, how did you know? And I tell them the Holy Spirit knew. I'm being used, and I love it. As Bill Withers said, if it feels this good, get used. God, you just keep on using me till you use me up. I thank you, Lord. It's just a beautiful thing. It's a whole life-changing experience that I can't even explain, but I'm thankful to do it. So as we go forward, today, as always, I like to give quotes of people who God has put upon their heart some particular pearl that we could use to grow and mature. Oswald Chambers says, our Lord's conception of discipleship is not that we work for God, but that God worked through us. Brian Cox, a young football player, said, this discipleship is the art and science of helping people find, follow, and fully become like Jesus. Discipleship happens as God's people show love, share truth, and live life with one another, making disciples along the way. Max Lucado says, in our faith, we follow in someone's steps. In our faith, we leave footprints to guide others. It is the principle of discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Howard Hendricks said, you teach what you know, but reduce what you are. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in Matthew 28:16-20, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubt. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the ages. That's mind-blowing. To know that Christ is with us to the end of the ages. But he gave us a commandment that for some, I have one elder said, before she started teaching, she was a nervous wreck, didn't think she can do it. But the Holy Spirit guided us. See, he doesn't leave us comfortless. He don't leave us out there abandoned. He will give us what we need to say to make disciples. John 8:31-32 says, to the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. If you're looking for freedom, you don't want to be enslaved any longer. Jesus is the truth. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we need, people. Luke 6:40 says, a disciple is not greater than his teacher, but everyone, when fully trained, will be like his teacher. We need training. And as I always say from the Army, we train as we fight and we fight as we train. That way we ain't got to be worried. When we used to have hospital inspection, Jayco and all of them would come in, some people in some areas would be panicking. But see, if you train as you fight and fight as you train, you would have to panic because it's always the same. You ready no matter what. No matter what. That's how our walk should be. And then Luke 9:23 says, then he said to all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross daily and follow me. Daily, every day that he gives us his breath and strength, we should be striving to do something to follow Christ. Do something to follow Christ. Luke 14:25-26 said, a large crowd were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brother and sister, and yes, even his own life, person cannot be my disciple. Now, this is not the hate of disliking your family. This is what he's talking about, is loving him more. Because at the end of the day, he's going to take care of all that. But we have to be willing to deny ourselves. So as always, I like to tell stories. Stories are good. They say that people's retention is even better when they hear a story because they get a visual. They can see what you're talking about. It's just something that works well within the memory. This story is about the prince and the sheep. You know, when we was kids, our parents would sit in and come and read us a bedtime story. And we'd say, oh, Daddy, tell us again about Jackie and the Beanstalk and Cinderella and what have you. And we remember them stories. And to present day, I remember them stories. I could tell you that story. That's why stories are good. You know what? We're walking stories. And when we share with one another, we help each other to grow. But let me move forward. There was a beautiful kingdom, which was ruled by the prince, who took over the kingdom after his father's death. A few months of ruling, things started to test him. The drought caused losses for the farmer, killed many of the animals, birds, precious plants in the forest. And it was followed by unknown diseases which killed people. After a few months, things started slowly improving before they could recover completely. An enemy king took over the kingdom, killed many of the people, and imprisoned some of them. The young king somehow managed to escape and planned to meet his childhood friend, who was the king of the neighboring kingdom. On his way, he was thinking about all these things could have. How could all these things happen to him? He was born and bred to be a king of the most powerful and richest kingdom. But now he lost everything. He believed that he had bad luck because nothing had happened to his father or any other kingdom he had knew. The young king reached his friend's palace, and the guard did not allow him because his dirty looks and clothes, and he had tried many times and always failed. You know, that kind of reminds me back to my favorite song, I'm Just a Nobody Trying to Tell Everybody About Somebody Who Can Save Anybody. My raggedy clothes, I didn't look right. See, we as humans are judgmental, critically judgmental. Don't know the story. See, that guard didn't know the story. He kept him at bay. But let's move forward. Took a job so that he could buy some clothes. And after some days with new clothes, he was allowed to meet his friends. Ain't that something? When he looked a certain way, now he can meet his friends. His friend didn't even come out. To his king friend, he explained all the things that had happened to him. After hearing his story, his friend king ordered his people to give him a herd of 100 sheep. The young king was surprised as he was expecting much more than this. He's a king. Why are you giving me just 100 sheep? What's up with that? He doesn't want to be a shepherd. He didn't want to serve. You know, David was a shepherd, and he was loyal and faithful to being a shepherd. God rewarded him. Let's move more forward. But he had nothing else, so he took his friend off. After a few days, while he was gazing at his herd, a group of wolves attacked his herd and killed each one of them. While the wolves were attacking, the king ran away from that palace. I've seen many leaders run in wartime. I was on a gentleman's show by the name of Madison. I'm blocking his first name. He syndicated. And he asked, could women serve in the war zone on the line? And many people had answered. And actually, this is my first time ever calling in, the first time ever getting into a show. Lucked out. I was on the road. And I got in, and I said, you know, I've seen many situations where men and women could be compared to, and one would perceive that men would be the more braver or dominant or willing to step up. But I've seen women who have stepped up. Where men, when the rounds came in, they were shaking like Don Knotts and trying to hide like never before. And I've seen women step up like their name was General Patton and fight the good fight. So we can't make that comparison. What we have to look at in the reality of when it's time to step up as a leader, what you going to do? Remember, he was the king. The king ain't not supposed to back down. However, he goes forward, and he lost. He ran away. Then again, he went to his friend, and he asked again. The king gave him, this time, 50 sheep. But once again, he failed to protect his herd from the wolves. The third time, this time he gave him 25 sheep. One thing about his friend, he continued to give him a shot, right? An opportunity. He was patient. This time the young king decided that if he don't protect this herd from the wolf, he would not get another chance or any more help from his friend. So check what he did. He studied his place completely and understood the wolf's attack area. Then he added additional fences and guards all around. He then continued to monitor the place and talk to all the people and kept on learning the tricks and maintaining the herd. Study to show thyself approved, right? After a few years, his herd had grown into 1,000 sheep. With so much joy, he met his friend at the palace and told him what he achieved. And after hearing, his friend king ordered his minister to give him a whole state to rule over. Hearing this, he asked his friend, why didn't you give me the state to rule when I first came for help? The friend king replied, the first time when you came to me for help, your mindset was like you were born and bred to be a leader. But the truth was you were far from it. Ain't nothing greater than a friend that will tell you the truth. Tell you the truth. You might have been born in wealth, pride and power, but you had never properly educated and trained to lead your people. Properly educated and trained to lead your people. See, this word we getting, as I'm growing and maturing, and I got a long way to go, but I'm definitely much further than I was when I first started. As I'm learning and I'm training and I'm developing, I'm inclining my ears to God's saying, I'm keeping it in front of my eyes, I'm putting God's word in the midst of my heart, it becomes life unto me. And this life comes with the right tools and equipment needed to be able to lead the people. Then he says to him, so when I gave you to her, I was waiting for you to learn how to manage and lead others. Dear friend, now I believe you are ready to lead others. Ready to lead. You know, Jesus didn't even go out till he was 33. You know, there have been kings, you know, Solomon, if I got it right, I think he came king when he was like 12 or 13. He was a boy. Jesus didn't even pull out till he was 30. 30. He prepared. He sat down with the scholars. And he prepared. He was God. He was God manifested in the man as Jesus. He could have went out at 15 and just blew them away because he's blowing them away when he's sitting in the temple with them. But he prepared. Preparation. See, as the Spirit gave me my acronym for PACE is that P is for preparation. A is for having the right attitude. C is for commitment. E is for expectation. And the other E is for execute. But you got to prepare. So the more so we can see that status, power, access to all these images create a great image on the surface. And it looks good to others, even to yourself, but the real challenge comes when you are given responsibility. Can you be accountable and responsible? That's what his friend was checking to see. Are you accountable and responsible to lead? If you can't take care of the sheep, how are you going to take care of the people? We saw this with David. David took care of the sheep. He didn't run when the wolves came. He didn't run when the lions came. Oh, no, he stepped up just like Samson and was ready to fight the lion. A man already being developed and responsible. That's what we have to be, men. Accountable, responsible. Why? Because you're leading. When we're in the army, I know people always say, everybody leading. Yes, you are. Because when I would say with my soldiers, I look out there, who's the leader? And they would say, everybody's a leader. We all are leaders. Because at some point, as you serve, one day you're going to have to lead. You may have to lead to be a father. You may have to lead to be a grandfather. You may have to lead to be a manager. You may have to lead to be the president of the United States. But you're going to have to lead at some point. Even if you're in the street and you're a gangbanger, they got a leader. And they got lieutenants. They got a leader. You're going to lead somebody. The right way or the wrong way, but you're going to lead. But you need to prepare. You see, even more so, can you be a servant leader who understands the meaning of serving first so you can better lead? One must be a student before he can be a teacher. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that leads me right into my show. How can we assist each other as men to be delivered, developed, directed towards our destiny through discipleship? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Make sure I get my time. Okay. The scripture tells us in Mark 8:34-38, then he called the crowd along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses life for me and for the gospel, the good news, will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone's ashamed of me, my word, and my word, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. See, God don't want us to be ashamed of him. Surely we shouldn't be ashamed. God doesn't want us to be ashamed of him, and surely we should be bold enough to stand up to let the world know we're not ashamed. And I know sometimes people get squeamish. They even get squeamish to even pray before people. Well, I don't believe in all that. Why you do that? Blah, blah, blah. But you got to be bold. You got to be bold. And, yes, sometimes it is a little nervy when you're making this transition to serve God and be a man of God. But you're setting the bar. You're setting the standard in the physical realm because God is working through the Spirit to develop us and help us to be the men he intended us to be. So the last time we met, I concluded that we have a responsibility to each other as men to move each other towards our purpose. And that as we were going to look at discipleship and how we can help each other as men be delivered, developed, directed, and redirected towards our destiny or our purpose. I pointed out that as men struggling with challenges of being spiritually mature men, godly men, or just a good man, this battle could be contributed to the pseudo-image of what men are supposed to be, and how we're supposed to achieve it, and how we're supposed to live this life known as manhood. And believe me, this is easier said than done. We see every day the challenges men face to be a man from a historical point, racial point, social point, relational point. None of these points leads us in the right direction. Even in our spiritual, we see division among men, just like in the early biblical days of Jesus with the spiritual leaders and even with his disciples. Being a man in any of these four quadrants that I like to use in my program, which I presented in a previous show, spiritual, physical, emotional, psychological, each of these areas influence any of the subcategories in our lives. You can't pull one of them particular quadrants and not say that life is not going to bombard you in one of those areas. At some point or some time, you're going to be tested like Job. And see, many of our challenges go undetected because we're great illusionists, because our need to be perceived as a man is deep-rooted. And it reminds me of the classic story we usually hear when the family goes on a trip and the father's supposed to be, you know, taking the family to Chicago, but he makes a wrong turn in Indiana. And then the wife looks over and says, honey, I think we lost. And he continues to maintain, oh, no, we're not lost. But the reality is he knows he's lost, but he has that pseudo image of being a man that he cannot look like. He don't know what he's doing. I'm the man. I got this. I know where I'm going. What's up with that? Back off. This same image we saw in the young prince who became a king. He looked the part. He had all the attributes of representing the part, but something was missing. And like many of us, the spiritual maturity that keeps us from going the right direction is essential, but it's not there. However, we can't get there without being delivered from those strongholds, thoughts, imagination that lead us down the path of unrighteousness and defeat. And defeat. Too often, we as men do not take the time to recognize the importance of the spiritual maturity we need be what God intended us to be. So what must we consider when we're attempting to be truly God's image bearer and his disciple? As disciple of Christ, we must consider the expense of following Jesus Christ, which is losing our life to gain it. And as I said in Matthew 16:25, for whosoever saves his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's hard. To give it up. As a matter of fact, Jesus had a conversation with a young man who was rich, and he didn't want to give it up. He said, I don't do none of that. There's a brother named McCray. He said, I don't do that no more. He said, I don't do none of that. I don't commit adultery. I don't fornicate. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do none of that. Jesus said, you know what, that's true. See, Jesus knew that when he met with the Samaritan woman at the well, because he said, that's true. That ain't your husband. See, Jesus already know. He said to the gentleman, he said, well, that's just cool. Sell everything, take up your cross and follow me. He that can gain the whole world but lose his soul, where's his profit? Wake up. So wake up. See, we must be willing to forsake our old life as we know it, for which this can create an uneasy feeling in those four quadrants I spoke about, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically. Because when you follow in Christ, you will experience trials and tribulations, suffering and loneliness, humiliation, and much more. And that don't mean it's on a continuum, but you're going to have it. Sometimes, and even I, when I first got into understanding, when I just got saved, I thought all this stuff would drop off. And now I'm with this group of people that, hey, they walking around with halos on their head. But, oh, how I soon saw difference. And I didn't look at people because my mother told me not to judge people in a critical way, but try to understand them. So I didn't judge it in a critical way, but I was shocked. Why would I be shocked when I'm a street dude? But I was shocked. And the reality of a great leader of mine told me, I got human beings here. I don't have robots. They just like you. And it turned my little mindset around. But I was growing. I was maturing, so I didn't understand. Because even when you get saved, there's a different language. You know, everything, every discipline has its own language. Math has its language. English has its language. History has its language. Computers got its language. I didn't understand the language. But thank God for teachers who would teach me and help me to gather the foundation to begin to understand. You will have to decide that God means more to you than any person or anything in this world, regardless of whether you are the only one in your family following Christ and there's no support to be found. You have to take a stand. And as I mentioned, I was a Buddhist for a while, and my friend who became Buddhist and packed up, I didn't do what she did, but she packed up and left everything. If Christ was talking to her and said to her, pack up and leave, she was willing to do it. I have met not one human being that's done that. I haven't met too many people that gave up a whole lot. If it come down to some clothes they've had with tags on them for 10 years, it'll all pack up and go follow what you believe. Saying one should be a Buddhist, I'm just saying that the principle behind it, they were willing to forsake family with no support to follow what they thought was appropriate for their life. This is the same in following Christ. You see, this is a hard pill to swallow. When you have come accustomed to a certain lifestyle that is fully worldly and filled with your wants and desires. And I must admit, even though change is hard for me personally, I sometimes fail at it. But for the most part, I'm seeing such a transformation in me that brings me a joy, a peace, and a happiness than anything else I ever encountered. I was just talking to my mother the other day, and I say, ain't too much people can do to ruffle my feathers. They can't do a whole lot like they used to. I don't allow people to emotionally blackmail me anymore. That was one of my biggest challenges. People could guilt me into anything. I felt bad. I felt sorry. I heard Prophet Teresa say that. I felt bad. I felt sorry. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, 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 okay. And all the time, I was not preserving myself. I should say this. I said this on my other show, preservation. The Word of God tells us that love preserves. We have to preserve ourselves. But I felt I was being sinful if I didn't look out for everybody. I didn't be there for everybody. I've spread myself out so thin, cellophane can't even match up with me because I felt I had to do this. But, oh, I'm growing. And that's what walking with God is about. It's about growing. It's about maturing. It's about developing so you can do what you're called to do. And you called to go into the world and spread the good news, the gospel, to the people so they too can grow. Because remember, God don't want none to perish. Yet this is because I'm willing to be, but I know that this change has happened because I'm willing to be a student of Christ. See, I'm willing to be taught. I'm willing to be humble. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to put my pride aside. I'm willing to study. I'm willing to follow God's will and be the best that I can be with the abilities that he's given me and let me as I allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. However, my friends and family, it is hard. It is work. As the old song used to be, I got work to do. I got a job. My job is to keep growing in these areas I just spoke of, to be willing to keep growing so I can do what God called me to do. This is where how we're maturing as men. Are you willing? Are you willing as a man to listen? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. As a man, are you willing to listen? When your wife is talking to you about something that you want to take pride in, let's say it's about your money, are you willing to listen? Because she may have a plan that came through the Holy Spirit to help you now get your credit score from 200 to 800. Are you willing? I was talking to a friend of mine, the other day who called me up and said, do people break up for this? Apparently, this new suitor she's with had a bug in the house, and she don't like bugs, so she panicked. Ah! And he said to her, she overreacted. And she admitted, I overreacted. But she gave him a plan, said, we need to take care of this. His response, pride. Oh, men don't do that. That's just men. Men don't keep things clean like that. What you bugging about? What you bugging about? And it became a conflict because, according to her statement, she had OCD. So she's obsessive compulsive, but she's a soldier. Well, rephrase that. She comes from a soldier background. Her father was a soldier. Her previous husband was a soldier. She was neat from the get. But he put his pride up. Are you willing to lower your pride? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to listen? Listen. See, I hear people say, you know, you got to be open. You got to hear. You know, you got to hear this and hear that. I agree. It's good that we should hear. The word tells us, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. But as you begin to hear, you take the next step and you activate your listening skills. As you activate those listening skills, your ear gates take a whole different process. Your mind begins to go through the registering of what the information you're receiving. And if you're willing to humble yourself, now the mind will govern you in the right direction, because if you are here to the Holy Spirit, you can grow. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit yet, you still can grow, because now you got ears to hear and ability and willingness to listen so you can be open to receive the Holy Spirit. This is about growth, man. This is about growth. You see, the scripture tells us in Philippians 3:12 and 14, now that I've already attained this, now that I've already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brother, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and stride forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is, none of us have obtained perfection or totally spiritual maturity as men, or for that case, women for that matter. However, but we must press towards that goal. So how do we hit the target, men? Now, that's the question. If I had a one-stop-shop answer, the world would look different. But there are some initiatives that we can take, at least to get us going in the right direction. And first, as I titled my show, we must be open to be delivered, developed, directed to reach the goal for the prize. So let's look at the first one, delivered. In order for us to be delivered, we must acknowledge and accept that we need deliverance from the old man. If you don't acknowledge this, it ain't going to be no change happening. And many people are in denial. I'm straight. I'm cool. What's up with that? You know, I go to church. I read the Bible every now and then. But you know, we ain't perfect. God understand that. There's no condemnation. That's like Satan. Some people can use God's word to their advantage. I had a conversation with my former wife, and she was telling me, man, use that. And if he had to use that, we already know he compromised. Because he's using it for his own selfish gain and not for his maturity. You see? But the scripture tells us that in Romans 12:1-2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is good and acceptable and perfect? We must be willing to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's tough when you've been in a habit mode for so many years, which vary from person to person. I like to say I can't stop what I've been doing over 50 years, and I understand this, that without the Scripture, I can't do it. But the Scripture tells us I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And that's great in itself. But I must be willing to humble myself. I must be willing to listen. I must be willing to release the old me so I can receive the new me. I must be willing to do this. I must be willing to study. See, that's why the word tells you, keep the word before your eyes. I must be willing to study, because every time I study, I get a new revelation. This revelation helps me to get that motivation to change. To change. And we got to be willing to change. And I know change is hard. As I always like to put out my acronym for change, C stands for conflict. The A stands for hurt. The A stands for access. And the N stands for network. The G stands for growth. And the E stands for expectation. No, I'm sorry. The A stands for anger. Going through the process, sometimes we don't want to make that change because we don't like conflict. We like everything cool. We don't like hurt. And we don't want to get upset and get angry. But as we begin to study, we begin to network, we begin to entertain God's word, there's a transformation that happens. The first happens in the mind, as Joyce Meyer would say, is the battlefield. It starts to change the way you think, the way you see the world. And once you begin to move in that direction, you become a new person. Let's look at one who walked with God and was told that what he was going to do before he did it. See, because again, even though we move in the direction of change, growth takes time. Growth takes time. So we don't always get it right. And now he walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. But let's see his story. Here's Peter out of Matthew 26, 33 and 35. Peter said to Jesus, Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crow, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. See, even though we get the word, growth takes time. You know, so when he was walking with Jesus 3 years, growth takes time. Change takes time. Change takes time. See, you can't get a baby, as they say, 0 to 60 seconds to be a full-grown 30-year-old man. It takes time. So what happened here? The day of reckoning came up out of Luke 22, 54, 62. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance with a courage at. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking close to him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. And later someone else saw him and said, you are one of them. But Peter said, man, I'm not that. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crow today, you would deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. You see, even all our good intentions, flesh will always wage war against the spirit. Galatians 5:17 tells us, the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is what contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want. This is why we need to move towards the second level in discipleship, which is development. We must develop. You see, Peter had good intention. He had the right heart, especially with sitting at the table. But when the challenge showed up, and see, everybody got faith. You know, it's like the old playing the numbers. Every number is good to you to it fall. So it's the reality to life. But this is why we have to develop. This is why we have to mature. This is why we have to grow. That's why we have to be among people who are trying to develop. You see, I said trying. They're striving. They're striving. Because anytime we go and look at somebody and we make a judgment on them because they're not where you think they should be, we wrong. As they say in the army, if you ain't elevating, motivating, encouraging, supporting, and sponsoring your soldier, you wrong. That's the same as a disciple doing discipleship to make a disciple. We must be elevating and encouraging and supporting and teaching and helping them to strive. But again, as I always tell my son, this is a two-way level of accountability and responsibility. You got to do your part. As I said earlier, you got to be willing to surrender. You got to be willing to be humble. Humility is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Jesus showed us that all the time. He had nothing to prove. He didn't have to get approval from man. Even down when it came to Lazarus, his sister said, if you had been here, but Jesus was cool. He had nothing to prove because he knew the power that God had put in him. All things is going to be well because all things come together for good, those that love our Lord Jesus. So let's look at the scripture when it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:11, hallelujah. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Too many of us are still operating in some childish ways, not in every area of our life. You see, as men, we are to be on a continuum of spiritual maturity. We should move daily to release the old man who wasn't growing and wasn't maturing and wasn't striving to put away those childish ways. Let me give clarity. Here's a visual. Many people, once they graduate from high school, many will not go to a higher institution of learning. And this is not a negative reflection on anyone because we're all given different gifts and talents that will lead us in different directions to achieve our goals and our life purpose. However, for the most part, this is not about the higher institution. Because I've been around men who have had several degrees, high-level positions, and viewed by many people at high honors. And yet I see them behind the closed door, and there's this childishness that comes out. As if you will, they've been in the closet. Because the things that they kept from the world, as I talk about being the great illusionist, now comes out. And many of us have heard, you can lie to the world, but you can't lie to yourself. Therefore, the childish ways of selfishness, egotism, self-centeredness, narcissism haunt them like a Casper, the unfriendly ghost. And that was the episode where Casper was not such the friendly ghost. This is why we see the fall of many great men who achieved so much worldly from a worldly standpoint, but very little spiritually and emotionally. This is why we see people take their life. Because as you begin to grow spiritually, Satan's going to show up. He showed up to Jesus, and he was the most spiritually sound individual walking the planet. He going to show up. He going to get in your head. And if you get too emotionally emaciated and spiritually emaciated, he got you. However, King David understood this when he spoke in Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We got to do this ongoing. He is like a tree planted by the stream that yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The word shows us that we can prosper if we can prosper, but if we're not in good counsel, if we're with the wicked, we're with the sinner and the scoffer, our growth is going to be compromised. We're not going to be able to be God's true image bearer. Our transformation is not going to be straight, it's going to be crooked. But we know God can make crooked straight. Christ is going to help to change our mind. And if we let God move in us through his word, just like Simon and Saul, they needed a transformation, even when they were walking with him. But they understood that through the process of development, they would draw closer to God, and God would draw closer to them, and they would begin to grow. See, person, I've learned from my walk that walking with God is a developmental process, and it helps us to move towards our assignment, our destiny, through his word. See, the word tells us in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. See, we must continue to take every avenue we can to continue to strive to learn and improve every day. This is why the word tells us, even in the beginning, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old will not depart. So even we know, like the prodigal son, his father had taught him something. That's why he wasn't buggy. Everybody else might have been, and we saw the brother was even more buggy. But at the end of the day, he came home. He came home. He understood what was needed to make a change. And he came, what I mentioned earlier, he humbled himself to went back to go and serve. Not to go back and be the heir, to go and serve. Humility is everything, men. Humility is everything. As I think I heard Prophet Teresa say one time on the show, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. So important. In 2 Timothy 3:14-17 tells us, but as for you, continue what you have learned and have fully believed, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings and which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, training, and righteousness, that a man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Competent and equipped for every good work. Therefore, we need to take into account that God's word will provide for us what we need in order that we can be taught, trained, and corrected so we can be equipped and competent in every good work that he provides for us to do, or challenges us to do, or want us to do. However, there are things that can get in the way of our growth. And as I mentioned last time when we met, fear can take a hold on our life. It can impede, distract, and prevent us from moving towards the development and discipleship that God wants us to move in. And those fears, yes, man, I said fears, will prevent you from being the best you can be. Because what they do, they attack your mind, they take control of your emotions, they impede your spiritual growth, and they govern your physical behavior. And just to highlight those fears, fear of death, fear of life expectations from others, fear of moving forward or backward in life, fear of aging, fear of relationships, fear of God, fear of confrontation, fear of trust, fear of loss, fear of transition, fear of unknown, fear of not reaching your potential, fear of success, and fear of not meeting your expectations. The graveyard filled with people who had fear. But see, 2 Timothy tells us in 1:7, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And in John 1:4-4, you are of God, little children. I have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. God is assured that we receive the Holy Spirit who come with power to help us to develop a sound mind so we don't have to operate in fear. And because he's in us, greater as he is in us is in the world, we have the power to move forward. And in Romans 8:11 said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, give life, make you alive by the spirit that now dwells in you. But we got to tap into that. And this is why studying is so important, because prior to me starting to study seriously, I didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know the power that the Holy Spirit gives. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit could be life-changing and change me. I didn't know. And as I always say to people, you can't give what you don't have. Therefore, we can overcome these fears, our childish thoughts and behaviors, to become spiritually mature men, true image bearers of Christ. Now, why is this all beneficial? If we follow God's word by becoming disciples of Christ, let me show you your reward. And this is out of Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all his commandments, he said, I will give you the day, and the Lord your God will set you above, set you high above all nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruits of your womb will be blessed. The crop of your land and the young of your livestock, the calf of your herd and the lamb of your flock. Now, obviously, this was written back during that biblical time. But you can put in, you know, your family, your business, your education. You can shift the words around. But the theme is important here. Your basket and your kneeling through will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant you that your enemy who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barn and everything you put to your hands to do. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as he promised on his oath, on the oath. And if you keep the commandment, here's the key, you got to keep the commandment of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. This is why it's so important to stay affiliated with those who are striving, because we're easily distracted. And if we get too far to the left, and everybody that's following God going to the right, we're going to get left behind. And he got you. Then all the people will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Remember that abundant life. And the fruits of your womb, your young, and your livestock, and your crop of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. See, when we transition, now our children will look back on us as the ancestors, and they will be blessed. The Lord will open up heaven, the storehouse of his bounty, to send the rain on your land in the season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I give you this, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn to the side from any of the commandments I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. So we can see, we begin to walk in the light, the darkness of light begins to expel, and our growth like a seed that was once under the ground breaks through the darkness till the sun begins to shining bright, will begin to pour its mighty energy on us to develop in the true walk of Christ, to be his image bearer. So as always, I like to end, if you have not accepted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, open up your mouth, say with him, I accept you, Father, as my personal Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart and begin to walk in this journey. Because, again, the old life you could put to the side and embrace this new life that God gives you. And as always, please join us through email. You can contact us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739. And as always, ministry costs, so please give into the ministry of www.givelify.com, which is spelled G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. And I tell you this, if we begin to grow, and we're going to pick up next week on more on this about developing and tapping into the resources of discipleship to help us be better men, I tell you this, if you follow these steps and all the other steps that many of the ministers on the other shows give, you begin to get that spiritual maturity, that growth, and then we could be truly the spiritual men of Christ. As always in parting, I like to say, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the great spiritual maturity that God will do in me and you. God bless you.
Genoa.